Welcome to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Elliot Berlin, prenatal chiropractor, labor doula, and filmmaker, and I'm joined by today's co-host, Angelica Ortiz. Angelica has an undergraduate degree in neuroscience and is currently completing her Doctor of Chiropractic degree with a focus on prenatal, pediatric, and family care. Welcome back.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
We're happy to have you. I recently saw a post on Facebook, Angelica. You're if I'm going to be honest, you're my Facebook poster.
Yes.
Well, I do some of my own, but like you're like the face behind, you're the brains behind our all of our social media. And I was scrolling through and I saw a post from a pregnant woman and she said she was considering hiring a male doula, not me. And she posed the question to her friends and followers asking if they would ever consider hiring a male doula. And she had like 150 replies and the answers were all over the board. Some of them like, hell no. Never in a million years. Some of them were like, I want the doula who's going to be best for me regardless of gender. And a handful were like, I think actually one said, that sounds really cool. I want to see a male doula. So my journey to becoming a doula was really long and very unexpected. When I was a little kid, when I was a younger kid, and people said, hey, what do you want to do when you grow up? I never thought, I think I want to be a doula. It just kind of came to be. And I only know a handful of other male doulas like Brian, the birth guy in San Antonio. And so it's kind of interesting. We have guests in the studio today, Lauren and Josh. They had their baby about a year ago.
Yeah. Almost exactly. Yeah. 13 months ago.
Yeah. Aww. And you guys look great, by the way, for having a 13-month-old. I never would have guessed.
She's easy.
She's easy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's sweet. Must have been the birth experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I had the extreme honor of working with you guys through your very memorable, interesting, and for me at least, fun birth. And so I invited them on the podcast to talk about the journey in general and what it was like to have a big hairy male doula in the room. So Lauren and Josh, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
What's your background for each of you medically versus holistically? How did you come up in the world?
How did we come up in the world?
You know, some houses are like all medicine all the time. Other houses are like, you know, eat the ginger and use the essential oils and stuff. This juice will fix everything. Where are you?
Kind of in the middle. Like we were raised, you know, to eat balanced meals. This is me. I'm not speaking for you. And then Catholic guilt. We had a lot of Catholic guilt in my house. And exercise was always important. So like each one of us always had a sport. So kind of in the middle, I think.
What was your sport?
Swimming. I was always independent sports like swimming, horseback riding, that kind of stuff.
Stuff you can't just do in the backyard.
Stuff that was expensive and had
kids.
Yeah,
okay, I like that. How about you, Josh?
Yeah, I would say I'd probably in the middle as well. My parents, there was definitely Catholic guilt, but I was born in the early 70s, so my parents were definitely trying to figure out being hippies and how that compared to the way they grew up. So there was... you know, there was the balance of my mom being guilty about everything, but wanting to try new things and not always do things the most cookie cutter way.
So you did have kind of a more, at least exploratory into the more holistic.
Yeah, and I would say maybe the way I would describe it is be rational, right? Like there wasn't any principle that should be one way or the other. It was just take every situation and think about it rationally and whatever might work is that we're open to it.
Hmm. How about you, Angelica? You did every sport under the sun.
Yeah, I did do a lot of sports. I actually went to private Catholic high school up until college.
And a lot of guilt?
Let go of my wings. but yeah, I would say it was definitely like grew up more on the strict side. And now I'm going to be a chiropractor. So
it's crazy.
Yeah.
You broke the mold.
I ran away.
I grew up with Jewish guilt, which is almost exactly the same. Just a slightly different package. You guys had a baby a little over a year ago. When you got pregnant, at what point did you start thinking about what the birth might be like?
Probably like not very soon into it. We just kind of, it was just kind of something that we wung it pretty much, right? And then.
Were you planning to get pregnant?
Honestly, not 100%. We actually bought an African safari that weekend at a charity auction. So like probably not the best investment when you think about getting pregnant. But we were like, let's just see what happens. And we traveled so much for work. We thought like, whatever, like we had time. No, we didn't.
It was like, you were not buying. Yes.
Yeah, like we rolled the dice and it happened fast. So we didn't really think a whole lot about it. We went to the OB and we were just kind of listening and doing what we were told. I probably wasn't really informed at the beginning. Mm-hmm. It was something I kind of started researching as it was happening.
Okay. But I think most people do.
Right.
I mean,
there's girls who like dream and know what they want and want the nursery. Like, we definitely were not that. Like, our hospital bag was in the car at the birth.
Yeah, we forgot.
Oh, you never brought it up?
We forgot to bring it in.
Oh, no.
Okay.
That's kind of like the theme of our pregnancy. We didn't have the hospital bag, and you can totally be fine without it.
Wow, that's good to know.
Postmates is great. That was a good recommendation for
you.
Yeah.
You can get anything.
Totally. You can Postmates, Amazon, whatever you need.
So when did you, towards the middle of the pregnancy? I mean, you knew the baby had to come out somehow.
I did, but I think like...
At one point it seemed like it wasn't going to.
We'll just be like this forever.
Let's go on the safari.
So we ran into one of my good friend's older sister. We all went to college together, and she was like so excited to tell me about her birth, and she gave me this email. And I've sent this email now probably to like 100 different people. And you were on the email, and I started kind of researching and going through that, like when I first felt like a little bit of discomfort with the pregnancy. And I knew I've always kind of eaten right and been focused on like health and fitness when I got older and kind of moved out on my own. So I wanted to do things that were healthy for me, and I kind of looked at it as like I'm cooking something, so I should cook with what I want to use. And that's when I started researching it, and her email like is how I kind of went natural and did all of that.
Natural and did it. Well, okay. That just didn't involve. I feel like towards the end of your pregnancy, you didn't really share a birth plan.
Right? That was also in the car.
The birth plan?
Yeah.
Did you actually write one out?
Yeah, we actually.
Oh.
It's saved on our computer. On my computer, I probably spent like 2 hours trying to make this little collage of pictures at the top.
Oh, wow. So you really got into it.
To make it personalized. But yeah, then we left it in the car.
Maybe we can put it on the website and share it with other people. Somebody can benefit from your birth plan. But I just feel like when in our conversation.
We gave it to Lee, actually. Lee had our birth plan. I think she put in her picture.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's the most plagiarized
birth plan ever.
Great. But, I mean, somebody should benefit
from it. At least
it
was you. Yeah.
I just feel like in our conversations, you were not, you didn't seem committal to like, I'm going to do it like this. It was like, I don't know. Let's just see.
Well, I'm in sales, so a lot of it is like I under-promise and over-deliver.
Well,
so
that's
in
a
my
funny
mind,
way to put it.
I knew what I wanted to do. Like, and I was like, I want to do it as, like, I don't want any interventions. Like, I kind of want to just, like, I've made it this far. Like, I just want to have the whole experience.
I don't think I even knew that going into your birth.
Well, I didn't want to tell you because if I did, then you would have helped. Like, I wanted flexibility.
You didn't want to under-deliver.
Yeah.
So to speak.
But, like, I walked in and I was, like, locked on. Like, I was going to fight to get it unless, like, the baby was at jeopardy.
I didn't know that. Because you're so, like just matter-of-fact about things. You're just like,
But don't let her fool you. I mean, she's a detective when it comes to getting the information. So even when she's being rational, she knows what she knows. She knows probably more than 99% of anybody else in that situation, and she knows her body really well, and she's pretty confident about it. So I think she probably doesn't even realize how confident she would be in a situation like that.
Yeah. I've been to a lot of births. And yours was just so interesting because I did not know you were committed to an unmedicated birth. And it was just sort of like I wasn't sure where it was going to go. It was just, and I sort of ended up there by accident.
Yes.
Because you had a doula.
The birth plan was in the car. It was the theme of the birth.
Yeah. I didn't just stumble in there and be like, hey, guys, what are you doing here? It was you had a doula that you hired who was going out of town.
Yep.
But not until a couple weeks past your due date.
Yeah, until 2 o'clock when I went into labor. She texted me from the airport, I'm getting on my flight to Hawaii.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was like, I'm pretty sure this is labor. Because everybody says, no, you'll know. Like, you'll know. And, like, so cliche, but 100%. Like, when you're in labor, there's no doubt.
You knew.
Right.
Yeah, like, I was like, oh.
What'd you feel?
Like, oh, my God, just crazy, like, everything was kind of moving, intense cramping, and then I just started bleeding. So, like, I knew, like...
Like a bloody show, or...?
Well, I mean, I, like, it just felt kind of like I have my period.
Oh, okay.
If that makes sense. Do you understand?
Yeah,
I can recite
oh, that.
But it was just like all of a sudden I was like, okay, this is changing. You know, like everything that they say is like, you know, I think we were 2 weeks past our due date, and I just like everything kind of happened. Like I just was so ready to have birth. Like all my fear was gone, and then my body just kind of like got tired, and I just like my hair was a wreck, my nails were a wreck, and I was like, of course, I'm going to go into labor as nasty as possible, and I did.
And I think you knew it the night before. I mean, you weren't there yet, but like, yeah. You knew it was coming.
Well, I saw Jason. Like
acupuncture.
Yeah, on that Thursday. And like he had done a couple treatments before where like something had started. But then this one, I was like, it was the first time I canceled Pilates my entire
pregnancy. Oh, that's serious.
Or my entire life. And I was like, you guys, I just can't do
it. You guys. When you say you guys, something's happened.
You guys.
How soon after that did you go to the hospital?
So I'd say we went, we probably got there at like 8:30.
Yeah, so way too early. Way too early. She's pretty tough. So I was petrified that she was going to tough it out
and
that she was
going
to be that person that was in labor for 10 hours that didn't know that she was in labor for 10 hours.
But to be clear, that's probably not possible. But I, the part that I think was it was really intense is, you know, those Venus razors, like the Gillette, like the non-disposable, like I had this razor for 10 years and nothing happened. Like I was trying to pretend I was okay. And I like sent him out to do like errands just so like I could try to figure it out on my own. And he walked into the bathroom because my goal was to take a shower and then get in the tub. But I couldn't do it. So he walked in and I was holding the razor and he goes, are you okay? And I go, and I just broke it straight in half.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
Yeah, and I finally threw out that razor, but I kept it in the shower because I was like, I was so strong. And he's like, but you're not okay. And I was like, this is a little intense. But
so you went. And did they check you right when you got there?
I don't remember.
I mean, I'm going to say yes.
But you knew you weren't that far along once they
I think I basically was like 3 or 4 centimeters and just held that forever.
For a while, yeah.
Yeah.
And you did have a backup doula.
Yep.
I did.
Who came. But you met her for the first time.
In labor on the phone.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then it was a Friday night, I think.
Yeah, because you took a Lyft over.
Yeah, because of the Sabbath. So
yes.
What happened, because normally I work like ungodly hours during the week, and then Friday night I come home before sunset and just have dinner, like a big heavy dinner with my family, and just pass out for 12 hours. And I think I was getting into bed ready to almost passed out when you guys called.
Yep.
And I feel like it was like, hey, maybe you can come for 2 hours. Oh, I'm really tired, but I can go for 2 hours.
Yeah.
So I came, and then I didn't realize that you were just meeting your doula for the first time, but I know her very well. She was like my backup doula, and I've been working with her for a long time. But I sort of feel like there was that sort of awkward situation where I knew her and I knew you, but you didn't really know her.
Right.
And so it took a little while for us to all sort of find our place. And also, you had, this is what struck me, pretty much after every contraction, there was a joke.
Wait, who was making the joke?
Lauren was making
the
joke.
Between the two of them.
Yeah.
We made jokes. We shot them back and forth.
And how about you?
I just laughed.
I just read into like what, I don't just always go make a lot of jokes, but if mom's going to have a contraction and make a joke, then I'm going to like, that's the tone. You set
you make
the tone.
So
I felt like
jokes.
I was entertaining and I had to make sure the room was okay.
Yeah, the stage and you just, I mean, that's how I always knew every time that you were just fine, because you'd come out of the contraction and make a joke. And it went on for a while. Like, I thought I was going to leave after 2 hours. I'm like, hey, guys, 2 hours is up, you know.
Yeah.
I can go now if you want me to. And you're like, how about another hour or two? And then how about another, it was like 15 hours.
It was a long time. I remember having a conversation with Josh in the bathroom, and we were talking, and I was like, somebody's kid's going to college tonight, and I don't think it's ours.
My kid's going to college.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I already spent it. But he could have gone to college. He could have gone to college.
So could have ours.
On your birth. Yeah, neither of, but you know. What I thought was really fascinating also was that towards the end, you started making noises, primal noises, that were so loud and interesting that the nurses kept running in. Right? Not just one nurse, but like three or four nurses would run in. Oh my God, what's going on? Is everything okay? And then you would come down from, and you'd come down. And we're all looking at you like, right? And then, and you would make a joke. All right. And I even asked you one time, like, was that like really intensely painful? And you're like, no, it just seemed like the right noise to make for that moment.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And it just never went away. And then all of a sudden you were 10 centimeters. And you push your kid out.
Yeah. Well, I think one of my favorite things, like I obviously don't remember everything from the birth, but was when I went into the restroom to try to have the baby because the doctor was at a T-ball game.
All right.
And like there was so much pressure at the end of my pregnancy to get this baby out. And I had done so much work when I went into labor that I was kind of like, whoa, we want to pump the brakes right now? Like, that's not okay. Like, the one thing I want is to finish this.
Mm-hmm. Cross the finish line.
Yeah, just like meet the baby, like have the prize. And so I went into the bathroom, but I don't really tell people what I'm doing, which is probably,
I noticed.
Which is probably why you didn't know I was even going to try to go completely without interventions. And so, like, I went into the restroom, and Dr. Berlin knew 100% what I was doing. Like, clearly he's been to a few births, and he kind of went to the window with our backup doula and Josh, and it was at St. John's, so they could see the ocean. And then the nurse came in all panicked. She was a younger nurse, and we were kind of messing with her. And she's like, where is she? And they're like, I think, what did Dr. Berlin say to you?
He was just like, have you seen the view?
It's a beautiful view from this hospital.
And
it's
then
so nice out here.
They just all kind of stayed distracted by the window, and she kept pounding on the door. And then finally I was like, she's like, if you let me in, I promise I'll let you push. And I was like, deal.
Like, yeah, I mean, you shouldn't have to negotiate like that in labor. I think what happened to you is because you went past your due date and your doctor gets a little uncomfortable after 41 weeks, you had to like really work to get to go to 42 weeks. And then you're ready to push and your doctor wasn't quite there yet. So the hospital puts pressure on you not to push your kid out until your doctor gets there, which is
ironic.
Ironic and just not, just for you, just very not comfortable.
Yes.
We are going to take a quick commercial break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. I understand the mental demands of motherhood. I see it every day in my practice. That's why I'm excited about Needed's new cognitive support. Unlike other supplements, it's specifically formulated with postpartum and breastfeeding moms in mind, using safe and effective ingredients. This means that moms can get the brain boost they deserve without compromising safety. Plus, it includes clinically studied ingredients, proven to support focus and memory. Hurry and get your cognitive support from Needed before you forget. Visit thisisneeded.com and use your code Berlin to get 20% off your initial order. This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash. Well, how did it, I mean, intensity-wise, how did it compare to what you thought it was going to be?
Well, so I was thinking about this the other day because I had to get an MRI, and the MRI was much more, like, probably tested me as a person and my constitution than birth, because with birth, I don't think that I was prepared for what it would feel like, but it was worth it. Like, I don't look back on it. I have zero regrets. Like, our daughter's wonderful. She's super perfect and healthy, and I think I had a really strong recovery. So I have no regrets on it, but like, it's definitely intense and it tests who you are. And there was a couple moments where like I wanted to kind of just break and just be like, okay, maybe try an epidural. And then I was like, no way. Like, I've been doing this for 15 hours. Like, I'm not stopping.
But that was all an internal conversation. like, you know what I mean? Like, it never came up. Usually we have that conversation. You're like, guys, I don't know. I'm not sure I can make it any further. And then we're like, well, why don't we do this? Or look at the view, right? But I think that was all almost entirely internal and inside your mind, you talking to yourself and convincing yourself to keep going.
I did a lot of individual sports growing up, so I think I've always been kind of in my, like, swimming, you're underwater.
Yeah, and it's just you and the horse, you and the horse.
Yeah,
the horse.
I'm like, we got to get over this fence together. Are you with me or not?
Yeah. Hopefully, yes.
Yeah, hopefully, yes. I've been alone a few on that, too.
Speaking of individual sports, do you remember the point in time where maybe she was a little stuck on the dilation and it wasn't getting bigger? And they turned on the monitor from a person in a different room.
Oh, that's right.
And she literally, like, buckled down and tried to figure out how to get there.
Yeah, so you can see in the monitors in the hospital, you can see your contractions and your baby's heart rate. And they also, because sometimes your nurse is looking at more than one patient, overseeing more than one patient, you can see somebody else's contractions and heart rate. And
right.
So because the dilation wasn't happening, I think she might have said, you know, when your contractions get like this, that's when you're going to really start to open up and dilate. And then Lauren was like, I can do that. And trying to make her contractions more like that.
And I marched in, like, and I just, like, watched and I figured it out. But anyway, so then I'm competitive, so clearly if that doesn't show up, surprise, guys.
Next week on competitive birthing.
So then when the baby was born, when Frankie was born, I then turned to our doctor and I was like, so what's going on in room one? And she's like, she got sent home. And I was like, yeah,
stuff it.
Take that. You still are pregnant.
How was this experience for you, Josh?
It was so long and so relentless. Like, I just never could imagine that it was that intense for that long. Right?
That it was going to be?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Even,
I mean,
in retrospect?
I mean, you know, you have your images from movies or whatever about the moment in time and how intense that moment is, and that's fine, right? That wasn't that much different than I guess I expected.
Mm-hmm.
But the, you know, from 6 p.m. the night before until it was time to start pushing, nobody could have prepared me for how just relentless that was, just unforgiving for so long for her. One of the things that I appreciated about having, especially you there, was just you weren't fazed by it. It wasn't new to you. And if it had just been us with the nurses checking in, how often they check in, I just can't imagine the things that would have been going through my head about, is this normal? Like, how much longer can this be? Oh, my God. Right? But you're calm and everything just seemed normal. So
I was just really tired.
I had
eaten a big meal.
Thank God for that.
Lauren kept giving me bars.
Yeah.
I think that might be one of the best benefits of having a male doula, though, right? Like, calming down the partner. Because a lot of times the expecting father is the one that's, like, more, like, you know, anxious and not at ease. So, like, having, like, another male there to kind of like be like, it's okay, calm
down.
That's
an interesting
point.
We'll
look at the view.
Yeah, no, I've told that to so many expecting couples that we've talked to, just about having another male there to talk to and just gain perspective, because at least for me, I just wanted to know that everything was normal, and if you're reassured about that, then okay, you know, you're in it till, you know, for a little bit longer. But I just can imagine without that, trying to comfort her, trying to figure out how to even fit myself, my role for doing that. And then God forbid, you know, somebody asked me to make a decision on something. Like, all of that would have been the most, I just couldn't have mentally prepared for that. And so to just know that it was all just kind of taken care of, and at any moment in time, a decision needed to be made, there was somebody there that was going to stop and say, hey, you know, here's what we need to think about right now. I mean, it just, it was all the difference for sure.
Right.
Josh, what was one of the key moments for you? What was the highlight of the birth for you?
I would call a life-changing experience being able to be the one to catch my daughter. And I wasn't the guy that planned for that or would have even wanted to be in the way like that. But I hear so many friends of mine talk about the first year and how it's, you know, hard and maybe they're not that connected to their kid. But from minute one of just catching her, I felt like I was part of it. And I think it's played just a huge role in her and my relationship.
That's really special. Wait, so you weren't planning to. How did you end up being the one playing catcher?
The doctor just looked at me at one point and said, "Do you want to come down here?" And I said, "What?" And she said, "Get down here." And she planted me down there. And she told me, "This isn't fake. You're helping. Just do what I say." And it was great.
Amazing. Amazing. Have you ever played catcher before?
I haven't. Usually shortstop.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you switched to catcher.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Thanks.
There was one birth that I was at, and she chose me to be her doula. And she had a male OB. And when we got to the hospital, I don't think what she could have predicted is that she had a male labor and delivery nurse. And this hospital only has one. And he's great. He's one of my favorite nurses. There are a lot of great nurses there. But we're kind of in the room in the heat of labor, somewhere around 6 centimeters. Things are really picking up. And that was the first time it occurred to me, like, there's this woman and then her husband, her male OB coming to check on her from time to time, her male labor and delivery nurse, her male doula, and she's having a boy. Okay. So the only female energy room is her. And I, at that moment, I said to her, I said, "I know you picked me to be your doula, but this just seems very male lopsided. Is it uncomfortable for you? Because I have backups who are female. I thought maybe she would prefer some female energy in the room." And she looked at me with just the straightest face and said, "I have never felt so feminine in my whole life."
Wow.
Right? Just okay. Totally surrounded by these guys. I feel the woman in me so strongly. And she's like, I wouldn't change a thing. She loved it. And there's another one where it was a home birth. It was up at the top of the Hollywood Hills under a very full moon. And it was a home birth with a OB who does home birth. So it was a male OB. I was her doula. She had her husband, also having a boy, and also two big male dogs, very manly. And it's just what she wanted. She loved it. She's like, "This is what I need." So it doesn't seem like the norm, and I'm not saying everybody should go ahead and do it, but it seemed to work for you guys. Was there any point where it was awkward for you or uncomfortable?
I think before going into labor, it was like, I was like, "Oh, well, I don't know that that's necessarily like where I'd want another man." But mm-hmm. then the second I went into labor, like, I texted you, you know, to let you know, I think around 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And then we talked on the phone, and like, you were there through my whole pregnancy. You flipped Frankie when she was breached. Like, you were the person that I wanted there. Like, I was secretly glad the doula I had chosen, like, flew out that day. Because,
yeah.
Like, let's just give all our money away.
Yeah.
And, like, have fun in Hawaii. But
now I'm thinking I should go to Hawaii with all the money I made on your birth. Well, I don't think I could have done it without you.
I never said this before, but you were great.
Oh, thank you so much. I was wondering. Now I know.
No, it was exactly like every one of my friends. I'm like, "This is kind of what you need. It's a little bit unconventional, but it was so perfect." And you also scared the nurses.
Yeah.
Like, the nurses were super aggressive.
That's part of my standard package.
You're the birth bouncer.
You know what? I sort of felt like it was a great, and everybody needs something different chemistry. I felt like the chemistry in your room was just perfect. The chemistry between you and Josh, I thought, was great. Even having the backup doula who was there, she had some things that she did that I thought really added a lot. And the nurses did, like, because you were doing just well with the team that you brought, with a little encouraging, they just left you alone for the most part to do your thing. And you knew what you wanted, and you just went for it. And it was really cool to be a part of it, to just see that strength. And especially in a hospital setting where people don't think it's much harder to do that. For you to just look at the finish line and say, that's where I'm going, and just do it with a joke every contraction. I mean, how do you keep coming up with new jokes? It was kind of amazing.
I thought it's tough. It's tough.
I thought, by the 15th hour, I thought she's going to run out of material.
But, really?
But yeah, I almost wish we had recorded the whole thing.
You should have got it for the postnatal date.
Yeah,
night.
You could do stand up at our comedy
year.
Show.
So in that description.
But you have to be in labor.
In that description of the setting, though, you can't forget that your scents, like oils, and your music selection basically turned it into a Vegas pool.
Yeah, so, that's what I was going for.
It was, I think the nurses started coming in a little bit more at the end because they just wanted to be part
of it. They liked it. Yeah, they came in there like, wow, it smells good in here. That's true. I mean, I always say that when you go to a hospital setting, all the more reason you need to surround yourself with things that make you feel relaxed, feel comfortable, feel confident, like in ways that the big hospital moo-moo and the germicide smell and the bright lights don't.
Totally. Well, when we first walked in, there was a nurse who came in, and the first thing she said to me is, you have an order not to go anywhere. And then that immediately, set the tone for me, where I was like, oh, I can't go anywhere? I'll show you where I'm going.
I'm going.
I'm hiding in the restroom.
Exactly. I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, that's right.
In 20 hours.
I'll go to the cafeteria if I want to. I will get a little packet of ketchup and come right back here. And you're not even allowed to eat that little packet of ketchup. But we ate.
You guys ate. One of the best things from the birth experience is I love coffee. I love it so much. It's how I love to start my day. And when I was in labor, and it was getting intense, Josh went and got everybody coffee. And at that point, nobody was letting me eat. And so they're all trying to talk to me. And all I smell is coffee. And all I want is coffee. But I know that it probably isn't the right time to have it. So now every morning, Josh gets me coffee.
Aww.
So amazing win.
All right. Amazing birth. Really memorable. Sticks out in my mind a lot. And it also sticks out in my mind when people are trying to ask me, how can I have this really natural birth experience in a hospital? Your guys' story comes to my mind. Your whole experience comes to mind. So I'm glad you're able to share it today with our podcast audience. Do you have any final thoughts?
You can leave the hospital bag in the car if you have Postmates on your phone, and probably share your birth plan.
Yeah.
CC a lot of people.
Yeah. How about you, Josh?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, again, just stressing for a man, I think relieve yourself and don't take on the burden of all the decisions and everything. And so whether that's with a birth plan or a doula or whatever, but I mean, I think it's just a much better experience when you can be present rather than stressed about what potentially is going to happen.
It's interesting. I'm a doula and my wife's a doula, and at all four of our births, we hired a doula.
Yeah.
And it's because at the birth, I don't want to be the doula, right? I want to be the loving, caring, nurturing, supportive husband who doesn't have the doula is a lot of pressure. It doesn't have the pressure to be the doula. And also, I think it's like you said, men instinctually, for the most part, I'm generalizing, but we like to have solutions to problems, right? And when you see your partner with that intensity, which a lot of it is pain, but it's intense, you want to have a solution. And since we've never done it before, in fact, up until the 1970s, men weren't even allowed in the labor and delivery room with their partners, So, and then all of a sudden the 70s happened. And it's like, oh, sure, you can come in. And you're the coach. I hunt and gather things. I do all my hunting at Ralph's, but you know what I mean. Anyway, so it's kind of nice to have that pressure taken off and to just be you. Nobody can look into your partner's eyes and hold them and say, I love you, and have that effect like you can. And if you don't have the pressure of being the doula or the coach or making decisions, I think it can go a lot better.
Yeah.
So anyway, thanks again for coming in and sharing your story. And I don't know. You guys are capping it at one. Is that true?
Yeah.
Because I just hope that I still...
We blew up the bridge.
Well, no, I'm holding out for the fact that you might just buy a safari at an auction again and just, who knows, let's roll the dice one more time. Just because that comedy material was so good, I just want a chance to record it next time.
You should meet the kid. the kid's priceless.
Well, when am I going to meet the kid?
Whenever you want to. Last night or tonight, she recreated the birth and pooped in the pool tonight.
Oh.
My parents took her to swim. So, like, she's
amazing. She knew you were going to be on the podcast.
Yeah, she's like, I'm just going to recreate this birth. Water.
Beautiful. I can't wait to meet her. All right, everybody. Tell your friends about the Informed Pregnancy Podcast so they can make informed choices and empowered decisions, too. For more information on today's topic, together with our blog, documentaries, and other pregnancy and parenting resources, visit informpregnancy.com.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a whole lot of questions for you. This kid's gonna test my will. I got a lot to learn and my baby's due.
This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike. Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash.